Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
I'll be damned if he ever gets out and walks freely and has his own children. If my daughter can't breathe, I feel like he shouldn't be able to breathe anymore. Keep fighting. Never be silent. Your child isn't here, so you have to be a voice for your child and just keep going. I've been doing this 4 years plus now, and I'm just not going to be silent or quiet. I don't care whose feelings it hurts or how anybody feels about the way I grieve. It is what it is, and it should be a fight any mother should take on for the fact that their child isn't here to do it with them. It feels like Groundhog Day, to be honest. Reliving the same day over and over and over, and then not knowing and never seeing her and hearing her and touching her, and just her presence alone is just unbelievably heartbreaking. But my main priority is to bring my child home. That's the growth that I'm at now. Because before I would be like, there's never going to be closure for me and her sister. This is always going to be, you know, a hole in our hearts for as long as I live. Because you're not supposed to outlive your kids.
On May 6th, 2016, 17-year-old Kiana Galvin told her sister that she was going to the park and left the family home in South Elgin, Illinois, on foot. Kiana didn't go to the park, but instead walked to the house of an acquaintance. Neighbors later reported that Kiana was seen going into the house, but that she didn't come out. Her cell phone died or was shut off several hours later, and she hasn't been seen in the 4.5 years that have passed since her disappearance. Kiana's story is one with unanswered questions, a quest for justice, and many characters whose actions remain unexplained. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 258 of The Vanished, Kiana Galvin's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Almost an adult, Kiana Galvin was finding her way in life. She was focused on earning her GED and going on to college for fashion or interior design. She had hit a few bumps in the road, but had a bright future ahead of her. For this story, we spoke to Kiana's mom, Fiona, and she told us how much of a bright light Kiana was in her life.
She's a very bubbly, vivacious kid, full of laughter, love, smiles. She was always a big, big-hearted, caring kid. Has a younger sister. She actually used to think of her as her baby when they were growing up. They're a couple years apart. She just a very friendly, loves too hard type of kid. She loved to dance. She was big into modeling. We had her in modeling when she was real young. She had auditioned for Oscar Mayer commercials, Hannah Montana, all kinds of things that she modeled for. Very outgoing kid. Wanted to do interior design when she got older. She was always rearranging her room and drawing and things like that. Very artsy kid. Her freshman year of high school, she did Powder Puff, and that was about as far as sports went for her. But when she was younger, she did do karate and things like that. As she got older, she kind of lost interest.
Fiona was a single parent who loved raising Kiana and her sister Maya in a close-knit home. For the first decade of her life, Kiana didn't know her dad, but started to develop a relationship with him as she entered adolescence. The family also has many extended relatives in the surrounding area, and they often enjoyed spending time with each other when they were growing up. Here's Fiona again.
She started getting to know him about the age of 11, and then sometimes in the summer she would go visit him. She also had a stepmom and three other stepbrothers and sisters. Family's a big thing for her. My mom, my dad are around. She was always visiting them. We always spent holidays with them, birthdays. A lot of her cousins were always around for her birthdays. She has eight of them. We're all in the same, like maybe an hour all away from each other. So we're all very much in the same area, yeah.
We were able to speak to Kiana's stepmom, Heidi, who provided more insight about Kiana's relationship with her dad and spoke to how she remembers Kiana as a young woman.
You know, he's there but not there type of person. So, I mean, I feel like they did kind of form a bond after him and I were separated, and you know what I mean? And when she was with him, she had to rely on him instead of me doing everything. So then I think then they kind of formed their own little bond, but I wasn't around to see it. So
I think it was her birthday, and it was the first time I ever met her, and she was coming over. I want to say she was turning 12. She's very, very loving, very outgoing, outspoken. Everyone loved her. She got along with everybody. She's just an amazing kid with just amazing person. She loved going places. She loved going shopping. We always went shopping all the time. She liked to go hang out with her friends. We always went out to eat together. I mean, just normal teenage things, hanging out with friends and talking on the phone and on her social media and watching TV and just pretty much just hanging out. She was just like a really chill person. She wanted to travel. I know that. She always talked about wanting to go places and do things.
Kiana and her sister grew up with many people who loved watching them grow and blossom. We also had the pleasure of talking with Kiana's grandmother, Jackie, and she shared with us what Kiana's relationship with her dad was like.
Well, Fiona's my oldest daughter. Her dad, I haven't seen or spoke to since Kiana was like three, maybe a little older. He wasn't really in the picture and didn't actually get into the picture until later on when she became like a teenager. I couldn't really say anything about him, but Fiona's her mom. She looks after her kids the best she can. She's a single mom, working as hard as possible, take care of her kids, put them on the right track. My daughter is a fine mother. And she's a tough cookie.
Jackie also told us about Kiana's childhood and teenage years.
Well, I was at the hospital when she was born. She had a head full of hair, and she was just a great little baby, no trouble at all. And then as she grew up, she turned into a nice young woman. She had her typical teenage, I don't know if you'd call it drama, but teenage phase where they think they know everything. And the parents don't know anything. Yeah, no, she had a bubbly personality. She was very kind, very loving, loved to look after little kids, loved her cousin, and was best friends with her sister. Just all around a great kid.
By 2016, 17-year-old Kiana had found herself in a tough position. She was serving a period of probation after the police responded to a domestic call. When we talked with Fiona, she explained to us what had taken place that ended with Kiana on probation.
She attacked me, and then the police were called by her sister, and it was just, they wanted to make an example of her, basically. Because right around before this time, she wasn't going to school and that sort of thing. That's when I was homeschooling her, too. So, yeah, she was stressed out. I was like the mom, the teacher, the disciplinarian, I was, you name it, I was the enemy. She was on probation for an argument that me and her had, and the police basically wanted to make an example of her, so she was put on probation for that. I think the police maybe just wanted to make an example of her and be like, look, you do this crap and this is what's going to happen. You know, don't keep going down the wrong path. So she was on probation for like a year. She would go like once a month or however many times it was. But I would take her every time and make sure she was there doing her thing. So it didn't estrange us at all. I think that probably brought us a lot closer. I wasn't having my kids like in and out of law and in and out of jail. Like, no, that's not how we raise our kids in my family. And then we went back and after probation was done and the judge let her, it was fine. She was good to go. Got all dropped and everything.
Kiana had successfully completed probation, but there were other challenges she faced. Fiona explained to us that Kiana had stopped attending conventional school, but that she was pursuing a GED so she could go on to college. She was working and looking forward to becoming more independent.
She was finishing up with her GED. She actually was done with her classes, and then at the end of May, she was supposed to graduate with that. She had taken a couple trips the year before to Las Vegas and other areas where she was looking at colleges to go to for interior design. She was looking forward to getting a car. We were out car shopping that actual month before in April and also in May because she just couldn't make up her mind what car she could afford. She was just busy, you know, looking forward to planning her future, getting a car, going to college, doing the things that she wanted to do and be a productive adult. She did not like getting up early to go to school. So I actually ended up homeschooling her after freshman year of high school. Yeah, and she only liked getting up early if she was making money at her job on the weekends.
A few weeks prior to her disappearance, Kiana had started a new job at a retirement home, and she loved it. But just the day before she vanished, she lost that job.
She worked at a couple of jobs. Her first job when she was 15 was at Burger King, and then her second job after that was at Boston Market, and she worked there for a while. The job recent that she had before she had gone missing was at a nursing facility. Actually, it's about 2 blocks from where we live, so she would walk to and from, you know, in the morning and be home in the afternoon when I got home from my own job. She loved her the elderly in there. She has a very close friend relationship with her family, so, you know, they were kind of like grandma and grandpas to her in there. So it was super cute. She did enjoy it. However, she got fired from that job the week of her disappearance due to her being ill and out of work for a couple of days that week while she was on the 90-day probation period. And they had even told her when she was fired from the job that they didn't want to have to do that because she was a great employee. She was great with the residents, the staff, and it was just, yeah, their policy, 90 days, you can't miss any days. But, I mean, in her big heart, then the loving kid that she was is she didn't want to get any of the elderly sick, and she was really sick with the flu or something like that. So,
Kiana's grandmother Jackie told us that Kiana loved the job, but wasn't too disappointed when she lost it. She was more focused on continuing to pursue her goals.
See, she had a job at a nursing home there, and she caught the flu. And because she was working at this elderly nursing home, so she was like, well, I'm not going to go in because I don't want to infect, you know, the old people. Because they get it worse, it turns into pneumonia, and then sometimes, you know, it has a tragic ending. So she was like sick as a dog, stayed home, and they ended up firing her because she was still on kind of what they call probation. I'm like, why would you fire somebody for taking in consideration elderly patients that could catch the flu from a sick employee? You know, and that job, she loved that job, but she wasn't upset. She was still, she's like, fine, I'll get another job. I was like, there you go, honey. And she was out looking at cars with her mom, telling me all the different cars that she test drove. And she was thinking about going to the fashion design school in Georgia. I'm like, there you go, because she loved clothes, designer purses, teenagers. I had to think money grows on trees. I go, well, suffice is to say, Nana doesn't have a money tree growing in the backyard, honey, but you're getting up there. You're going to need to get a proper job, take care of your education, go to fashion school, then you can get a nice job. designing, what have you. Good paycheck, and then you can buy your own stuff.
The day after Kiana was fired was May 6th, 2016, the last day she would ever be seen alive. We asked Fiona to walk us through the events of that day, the Friday before Mother's Day weekend.
I had gone to work early that morning. Like I said, she hadn't been feeling good that week. And Friday I had gone to work and she had gotten fired the day before. They actually fired her at the end of her shift, which I thought was very crazy. You're going to make her work her whole shift and then say, sorry, we got to let you go. It was bogus as heck. She was a little upset about that. And this was the day before, the Thursday before. So I had taken her to get her eyebrows done. And, you know, we went shopping because Mother's Day was going to be Sunday. And she spent quite a bit of money at Sam's Club on grilling necessities and things like that we were going to do for Mother's Day. And then on Friday, May 6th, when I had left to go to work, I had checked in on her, you know, gave her a kiss, hugged her, told her I love her. Have a good day. Don't fight with your sister, because they were both home from school that day. I said, you know, don't bother me at work because you guys are arguing and bickering. So that was the last, you know, she said, love you, bye, have a good day at work. And I didn't get any phone calls from them at all during the day, which I thought, okay, cool. They're getting along and arguing and bickering like siblings do, you know, for cleaning this. They were cleaning up the house for the weekend. I actually had gotten done with my job super, super early that day. I don't even know how that happened, but she had left my house about 12:36. She had gotten some messengers on Facebook Messenger from a man that lives up the street in one of her childhood friend's homes that they were dating. So her childhood friend was dating this man that lived up the street from our house. And he was messaging my daughter, basically luring her over there to come over there and smoke marijuana. And I'm assuming that since, you know, Kiana hadn't been friends or really even acquaintances or hanging out with this person much over the few years prior, that she thought, okay, he's a cool, I'm going to go over there and it's going to be all good.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. Fiona told us that while Kiana used marijuana recreationally, that it hadn't been a problem in Kiana's life. And Fiona didn't see why the media would hang on to such a minor detail after she had disappeared.
She liked to smoke. It kept her calm, like chilled out. Because she would get real bad anxiety or, you know, be nervous about things. So she would always, like, she would go to work and then she'd come home and just smoke, just to calm down from her day. But it wasn't like she did crack or drinking constantly. You know, she was a really good, responsible young adult. The newspapers, yeah, I think the newspapers kind of made it seem that way when they brought it up, you know, and I'm like, she went to go get weed. And now it's legal, so who gives a damn? I don't care about weed. If she was smoking crack or meth, I would have a problem. But if she's smoking weed, I don't even care. She was not a pill popper. She didn't even like taking, like, you know, Aleve or Tylenol or anything like that for headache. She barely even liked using her inhaler for asthma attacks. She used to just take a lot on from, like, her friends' drama. And then, you know, she was always very helpful and wanted to be there for whoever needed her. And she took on a lot. And just sometimes it was a lot for her.
Jackie, Kiana's grandmother, also finds the story about going to smoke or purchase marijuana from her acquaintance to be a non-starter.
The way they write it, it's like, oh, she went over there to buy weed. It's like, no, she didn't go over to buy weed. He had a joint and asked her to come over there and, like, have a smoke. But she didn't even have her wallet or any money. She just had her phone and she had left her charger at home. She left her purse at home. And that she was going to cook Mother's Day dinner for her, her sister, and her mom. So there's no way she would have been wasting money buying that stuff. I mean, I know teenagers smoke that off, you know, now and again or whatever, but she wasn't like a full-on blown, you know, druggie. She's just like a typical teenager, you know, trying it out or whatever.
Kiana had told her younger sister prior to leaving that she was going to walk to the park nearby, likely not wanting her sister to know that she was headed to see an older male neighbor to smoke marijuana with him. However, we know that she was at the residence where the neighbor lived, because other neighborhood residents saw Kiana go into that house.
Well, when she went there, she was seen by a neighbor on the corner who was mowing his grass, who's known my kids. Both of my kids for as long as they've been around because they've, you know, they're little and they've grown up around this neighborhood. So he'd seen her and spoke to her briefly and then saw her go in to this man's house. And when I got home from work that day, about 12:50-ish, 12, I don't know, somewhere around that vicinity, I was calling her phone because my other daughter had said, you know, she went out and she said she'd be back. And when I pulled up to my house that day from work, my garage door was open. And that's the way she had left that day earlier, probably 20 minutes earlier before I had even gotten home. And I was calling her phone. It was ringing, ringing, ringing. And then it was just going to voicemail. And I'm thinking, okay, she knows not to leave the house with a phone that is not charged, so I can't get a hold of her. And both my kids know that. If you have 50% battery, you're okay. Just take a charger. But don't leave the house unless your battery's at 50% or more. So I can, you know, I need to know where my kids are. I text them multiple times when they're away from me just to check in and see where they are. So I was calling her phone consistently when I got home. About 1 o'clock in the afternoon, her phone was going straight to voicemail at that time. And I had found out from detectives later on that at one in like maybe 10 seconds that her phone was either destroyed, battery removed because it was disabled from the network. And that's this 20-minute span from leaving my home to being seen going in another home and then never coming out of that home that she went into.
It was uncharacteristic of Kiana not to answer the phone, but Fiona tried to remain calm and focus on the hope that Kiana would return home soon. But that didn't happen, and she called the police to report that Kiana was missing.
I'm calling her phone, like, where are you? What are you doing? What's going on? I just got home. It's early. You know, I was going to take the kids to lunch or even like early dinner or something, but we just never were able to get a hold of her. And I thought, okay, well, maybe she's just out with her friends because it was prom weekend for the high school that weekend too. So she had had some parties that she was going to probably end up going to. And then the next morning, I had had a basketball tournament for my youngest daughter. So we were away all day Saturday till about 6-7 o'clock that night. And we still had not heard anything from her. No Facebook posts, no Snapchat posts, no texts, no voicemails, no nothing. Her phone was going straight to her voicemail. Something wasn't right. And that Saturday night, I didn't barely hardly had any sleep. I knew the next day was Mother's Day, and I'm like, she would never disappear and not be thinking, okay, it's Mother's Day, I got to reach out to my mom, I got to get a phone. You know, if her phone was dead, she could have called on one of her friend's phones. You know, some way she would have got a hold of me if she was able to. And then that Sunday was when Mother's Day that I had to report her missing. That's just the worst day. They just took the report, basically, and said they were going to turn it over to a detective Monday morning, I believe. That did happen, but nothing happened with her case until either the Wednesday or the Thursday when the blood on the garbage can was found. But I had reported her missing on that Sunday. It was actually a gentleman that I knew with the police department who, you know, I was friendly with and, you know, known him from years before. You know, it was a small community then. It's a lot bigger now than it was back then. So everybody kind of, you know, is familiar with my kids, them doing what they do with sports and that sort of thing. The report said he was going to give it to a detective Monday. I believe Monday afternoon, I got a call from a detective, or it might have been Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, I think it was Tuesday afternoon, because on that Monday, I was making flyers and putting them all over town, in grocery store windows, et cetera, et cetera. Tuesday, I believe the detective had called and wanted to know if I would have thought of her as a runaway and this and that. I said, no, my daughter's never ran away. Her purse is home. Her wallet is home. She just walked out of my house with the clothes on her back and her phone. Now her phone is going straight to voicemail.
Before Fiona called the police to file a missing persons report, she reached out to other family members to see if they had heard from Kiana. Kiana's stepmom Heidi told us what she remembers about learning that something terrible had taken place.
Fiona had messaged me on Mother's Day on Messenger on Facebook. And, like, I just knew, like, immediately something was wrong. Because, I mean, she's, you know, called me or asked me other times, like, about her. But just this time, like, I could feel something was different and something was wrong. She had asked me if I'd seen or talked to her or if she'd called me or anything. So I immediately called her number. I Snapchatted her. I looked on her Instagram. I looked on her Facebook. And I messaged her on everything, just like, hey, where are you at? Call me back. Your mom doesn't know where you're at. She's freaking out. The next day, I remember going to work, and I just had my phone, like, just with me constantly, just messaging everybody, just staring at Facebook. You know what I mean? Just, like, constantly just trolling everything just to see something, to hear something. And there was nothing. That day after work, I told my boss I wasn't going to be able to come back for a while. I just went home and logged into her Facebook and just started going through all of her messages and all of her stuff, just trying to figure out who talked to her last and just, like, reading everything and through everything and messaging people. I remember messaging the one boy that they thought that she was last seen with, who she had went to Dave and Buster's with the day before or a few days before. And I remember that's who they thought that she was with. And I was messaging him back and forth on Facebook, asking him if he knew where she was. And he just kept saying no, and that everybody's lying and saying basically that he has no idea what happened to her or where she's at. And he was being questioned by the police and Fiona and Kiana's friends. And then later that night, Tyrone, who was Fiona's boyfriend at the time, he messaged me too. We were messaging back and forth about what was going on and Fiona, and we were all, like, communicating throughout the whole thing. And then he messaged me that night, I remember, and I was sitting on my couch, and he messaged me and he said, they found her. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And he said, they found a body in a trunk. And I just remember freaking out. I was, like, screaming and crying. I called my mom to come over because I needed to leave. And my kids were here sleeping. My mom showed up. And I just remember taking off in my car and going to her dad's house and telling him what Tyrone had told me. And then my ex-husband and his son, my stepson, jumped in the car and we drove to Elgin to Fiona's house. And then
by the time we got there, we came to find out that wasn't the truth. That wasn't the case. It wasn't her body. It was somebody else. We ended up staying up there till the next morning. Fiona was talking about how she had contacted the police and the police just weren't taking anything seriously because they just wanted to act like she was a runaway. But we knew she wasn't a runaway. She had no reason to run away. She was almost an adult. You know what I mean? She came and went as she pleased. There's no reason for her to run away. But we knew that just wasn't it.
We had some questions about why police would suggest that Kiana had run away. Fortunately, we were able to speak with Detective Sergeant Anthony Martinez with the South Elgin Police Department. As the supervisor of investigations, Sergeant Martinez explained to us what took place when the original police report was filed by Fiona and why Kiana was listed as a missing runaway by their department.
The mother called and said that her child hadn't come home. And so the officer goes out and went to the residence and spoke with the mother, and the mother provided the information about her daughter and when she last saw her. The initial officer then tried to take as many steps as he could to locate her. When we fill in the box, it'll come in as a missing slash runaway. And at the time, you know, the concern, the time gap from when the mother last saw her to when the report was made, obviously there's a couple of days. And then the officer tries, normally the steps process is, okay, start trying to get a list of friends. Who was she last seen with? Sometimes we do have where juveniles are just juveniles and they don't want to listen to mom and dad and they go and leave with their friends. And they leave for a day or two and then they return. But we still try to take every steps, try to cover all our bases. We put out a leads message to all agencies. And the officer even checked at hospitals. Had something happened to her that she got intake and nobody had, she did not have an ID on her, she did not have any type of information on her, and so they could not ID her at this time. So we were able to check with all the hospitals, our mental health hospital over here, and again, it was with negative results. So the officer then, you know, tries to get as much information out to law enforcement, to surrounding agencies, as possible, just in case they do have contact with her. Leeds is like your local around for local agencies, and then NCIC is obviously the national database that will send it out through all the states. And when someone goes in missing, it is going to go into NCIC also. The Leeds is basically your general, but then it goes, NCIC is for every state. They will be made aware of. So if for some reason, if she had run away and went to California, let's just say, and somebody in California, an officer in Los Angeles, had contact with her, they would be notified that she was missing in a runaway. And then at that point, they would detain her. And, you know, the ball would get rolling with us being notified, letting mom know and so forth, if that was the case. And then as time starts going on, again, we start putting it out. There's been billboards that have been put out in reference to this case. And even at there was a billboard even at Union Station. Billboards put out throughout the areas that means of transportation. So like I said, Union Station in Chicago is a major train station. So if somebody was to have seen her there through the national NetMec. So we've been in contact with them and getting that information out. And they also assist on getting the information out, potentially blasting an area that we say potentially where she might be. So in the Chicagoland area, start putting billboards up, start blasting the area because this is the last known area. So we start getting them involved. Again, the marshals start trying to track the phone, going back and trying to get data from the phone of her phone. The last ping was on this date and this is the location. Let's start looking at that. And then we start, again, doing interviews with all the friends that were mentioned. Where was she last seen? Who was she last seen with?
You heard Fiona mention earlier that Kiana's phone had been going straight to voicemail, and that police told her that it was broken, shut off, or destroyed. Sergeant Martinez told us why phones are usually so useful in missing persons investigations.
The biggest thing that helps us 99% of the time is because they do have cell phones. So once we get the report, we will find out who the provider is, and we will have our dispatch center try to do a ping on the phone to see where that phone is. Once they tried to ping it, it realized that it was turned off because you will not get a response back. And then obviously even with the officers, when they're trying to get to a location, it's not showing anything. Then even with the officer and in the report, he even will even try to call the phone to see if we have, if we can get, like if it starts ringing and then it goes into voicemail. We know that phone's on and it's still shooting a signal to a tower. That's when a ping will be successful. But what happens then is if the officer calls and it goes straight into voicemail, that means it's turned off and then it's not sending a signal out. So we're not going to get a ping of where it was. When the report came and when he tried to do it, it could be that the battery had died from that time. That's why putting in there, because of the 2-day response with the weather and everything else, could have made the battery drain faster. They had done a ping, and eventually, at a certain point, evidence started showing up to the point where we started asking for outside agency help, and we get the marshals, because that's pretty much their thing, is finding missing people.
As information continued to develop, Kiana's family learned that her cell phone, while missing or shut off, did lend some important clues that Kiana didn't ever leave the acquaintance's house alive. Fiona told us more.
They just had permission from the cell carrier to get all the ping information and that sort of thing from her phone, all the data info. So they data dumped everyone's phone. The last ping on her phone was at that house. She didn't go anywhere after it pinged at that house that day, and that was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. No messages, no calls, no other pings, no nothing. But then, at 2:20 in the afternoon that same day, there's a comment from her on her post that she put up that morning. How is that happening when her phone was supposedly destroyed and out of the network at 1 o'clock? Isn't that interesting? I've been telling them that for the past 2 years. Why are you not asking Facebook what the hell this is about? How's she posting at 2:20 in the afternoon? And it doesn't even sound like wording my daughter would say. So did he do that? I just think that they need to look into that a lot more than they had, because that they keep saying, well, the time, date, the stamp. I'm like, no. If my kid's phone was done at 1, why is it 2:20? She's got like some comment on her post that she was posting that day before she left. But Facebook doesn't work well with law enforcement. Well, I don't care if it's like pulling teeth from you to do anything, so get it done.
In order to protect the integrity of the investigation, Kiana's family is not releasing the content of the comment posted on Facebook that afternoon. Several days after Kiana vanished and Fiona had filed the initial police report, some possible evidence pointing to what happened to Kiana surfaced.
On Wednesday, we put our trash cans out for garbage pickup on Thursday. That same neighbor who saw her that same Friday pulled his garbage can in on that Thursday, and it had about a dinner plate size amount of blood on the top of the lid. Now, our garbage would have been dumped already for him to be bringing his can back to see that. So he thought it was an animal possibly. Then he knew that, you know, the Kiana was missing. That was all over social media. Her flyers were everywhere in town. I think ribbons were being put up, all kinds of things, and called the police. The police come. They never swabbed it to check to see if it was animal or human right off the bat. They just put it in the back of their police car like it was, you know, a stolen bicycle, basically. Didn't cordon off a crime scene, didn't put any tape up, just basically took the can in the back of their car and brought it down to the police station. I saw them put it in the back of the squad car and was like, what the hell are they doing? Are they swapping out a garbage can? It was just very weird. Very weird. Yeah, I had no idea why they were there and why they were putting a trash can in the back of a police car. My girlfriend was like, we should walk down there and see what's going on. And I'm like, no, I don't know what's going on over there. I got my own shit I got to worry about. I was just so sick to my stomach. And I thought, she hasn't called. She hasn't texted. It's Mother's Day. She'd be the first one up making breakfast for me in the morning with her sister. You know, they'd let me sleep in, take care of the dogs, that sort of thing. So that Mother's Day, I just was sick to my stomach and thought something's wrong or something's happened. I didn't really even put 2 and 2 and then 4 and 4 together, because the case was going all over the place at that point in time. It was like we weren't even pinning this over here happening because why did she go over there? She don't even hang out with these people. She don't even talk to these people. She was with, like, you know, this dude, a friend of hers, a couple nights before. Like, why is she over here? And they kept getting all these reports that, oh, she's sex trafficked at this hotel and she's in this crack house over here in Elgin. And it was all over the place. It wasn't until a few months later, right around the September timeframe, when they told me that that was her blood on the garbage can. I said that was when my whole attention pointed right by my house. And then I felt even more sick because I'm like, she's anemic. She doesn't bleed like that. And that's a lot of blood for an anemic to have come out of them at the size of a dinner plate on top of a big trash can. It was insane. It was absolutely insane. And then for her to have been sick also that same week, she was very weak, trying to get her strength back after being down and out for, you know, 72 hours with whatever flu she had. So she wasn't at full potential on this Friday when she just happened to have, you know, hey, I'm just going to go smoke some weed real quick. I clean the house all day and then I'll come back and mom will be home and we'll be all good. And that just didn't happen.
Kiana's grandmother Jackie told us that there was other physical evidence as well, but that police didn't follow up on some of the important leads it seems they missed.
When the police were up there the first week or the next week, the garbage can, somebody put out like a bloodstained mattress. The garbage truck took it, but the policeman said he couldn't stop the garbage truck to check it out. I'm like, what are you talking about? He could have drove down the street, pulled up in front of the garbage truck and said, we need to look in the back. Yeah, it's like public. Once it's out on the street and it's gone, that's it. But they never stopped it. And then it was like, well, call the landfill. And then it was like, well, do you know how many mattresses there are at the landfill? I'm like, so none of that's happened. So I'm thinking with the blood on the garbage can, either he wrapped her up in plastic and threw her in the garbage can and she's at the landfill. Or if that's not the case and she's buried in that house because they remodeled that house, that whole basement is totally remodeled. Floors, bathroom, everything. So I'm thinking, well, bathroom, they could have tore up the floor. She could be wrapped in something under the bathtub. Re-concrete, re-tile, new tub. No one's going to know. No, they haven't dug up anything. They checked it out. You know, they did their little luminol stuff, but didn't find anything. You know, the point where the garbage was dumped. They did put a hold on they asked the landfill to hold off dumping in that spot, but that's expired now.
Evidence, both physical and circumstantial, started to pile up against the acquaintance who lived in the home Kiana was last seen entering. Police asked us not to name the person in question and told us that he hasn't been officially named a person of interest. So that's why we've referred to him as a neighbor or acquaintance. While we were talking to Jackie, she shared with us some disturbing information about this person.
Kiana's cell phone died instantly, just right after 1 o'clock. And then apparently a couple of hours later, somebody posted some crap onto Facebook Messenger with her phone number that they were meant to look into, but I don't even know if they got results back about that. So, you know, it's like, what are you doing? Triangulate the cell phones, find out where her phone was. If her phone died, where were all the rest of them in the house? Because it wasn't just him living there. It was him, his girlfriend, and her parents. You know, they could all be involved in the cleanup. None of them could be involved, but he definitely is. I mean, I don't know if you know about his ex-girlfriend. He's in prison, right? Yeah, he's in prison. He slit her throat within inches of killing her. They were still hooked up, and then all of a sudden, he moved out, moved into some other place in Elgin, I think, like a room or something that he was living in. She was over there, and there was some type, I mean, it's in the Daily Herald. There was some type of argument or something. She went to the bathroom. He followed her in. He slit her throat, slit her neck, and someone called the police and an ambulance, and then he jumped out the window and landed on a fence and, like, jacked up his chin. So his mugshot in the paper is a picture of him with a big bandage on his chin. And then he was in I don't know. I can't remember the charges they brought on him, but it was something like domestic abuse with a weapon or something. It was like pleaded down. It should have been attempted murder. Obviously, she didn't want to testify, so there was no court case, which is more strange. Why would you not testify against the guy who's the last guy to see your supposed friend at your house? Why wouldn't you want to testify to that? See, I'm under the impression that maybe he tried to slit her throat because she maybe knew something, and she didn't want to testify.
This person had been dating an old friend of Kiana's and is currently in prison for the attack on her friend that we heard Jackie describe. We heard more about this acquaintance and were continually alarmed by what we learned. Here's Fiona with her take on this whole situation.
He's in prison because on April 9th of 2017, he slashed his girlfriend's throat in an argument. And this girlfriend that he slashed was Kiana's childhood friend from elementary school that lives in that house five houses away. This was her boyfriend. Kiana was friends with that girl all through elementary school, middle school, and then when the cliquey things happened in high school, they kind of went their separate ways. She was questioned prior to the attack on her. And then I believe she was questioned and lie detected after the attack on her. He had a drug charge. His own mother has had multiple restraining orders on him as a teenager. He used to set fires in the high school. He's a very delinquent individual. He is 25, 26 now. He was 22 when he did this to whatever he's done to my daughter, and she was only 17, 2 months and 10 days before her 18th birthday. He's doing a 15-year sentence for that. It was originally charged as an attempted murder. He pleaded it down with the permission of her, obviously, but every time he's interrogated, I don't think they've ever interrogated him, but every time he's questioned, his story changes. She came to the door, then she left. She was messaging someone, then she left. She came in, we smoked, and she left. You know, it's just been lie upon lie upon lie upon lie upon lie.
In an almost unbelievable twist, Fiona got a strange phone call from this person's family almost exactly a year after she disappeared. What transpired turned out to be nothing short of cruel.
May 7th of 2017, he had his sister call me on his messenger and asked me to bond him out of jail, and he would tell me what happened to Kiana. A year after, he did whatever he did and is remaining silent about it. You're going to have your sister call me and message me on Messenger to bond you out of jail. His bond, mind you, was in $2 million then. Yeah, it's disgusting. It's disturbing. It's disgusting. And you're a psychopath for even putting us through all this for this long. Just so gross. They've gone into the penitentiary to speak to him. It's only been one time. It's like 6 hours away from here. I don't care how long it takes to get there. But under the assumption that, okay, it's been this long and he'll tell us something. He didn't say nothing. He didn't even want to come out of his cell. I'm like, wow, that's disgusting and that's disturbing. And I wrote him for a whole 18 months, the same letter. Every week he got a letter from me. He never one time wrote me back. He's obviously outsmarted the police on where he's put her. And that's all I want is for her to come back home. That's it. And I mean, I'm not too caught up in the details of the whole situation. I just want to be able to put my baby to rest where she is at peace. That's it. And he's not even giving me that respect. I don't blame him for not giving me that respect because he won't even give his own mother the respect because she has restraining orders on him from being violent. So he has absolutely no respect for women, it seems to me.
Kiana's stepmother Heidi shared with us some other troubling details about this acquaintance, who was the last person to see Kiana alive.
I remember at one point when I was messaging people on Facebook, I came across the messages between her and those were the most recent messages of the day that, you know what I mean? The last recent messages that she had messaged. The last thing she said is, I'm on my way. But I messaged them and I said, where is she? Where did she leave from there? And they told me she came there and she left right away and said she was going to the park. And I kept asking them, well, what was she wearing? What did she look like? Was her hair up or down? they just kept saying, I don't know, he doesn't remember. But it was just like so obvious. Now when you look at it, like, that was it. Those were her last messages. It was the last person she talked to. He's in prison. He wrote a whole confession and then took it back. Like, I feel like it's just so obvious, and I just wish he would say what he did to her and where he put her.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
You aren't sleeping, and you're stressed out. That's how it was for me, so I cleared out my cabinet and reset my health with CBD from CB Distillery. Their deep sleep gummies are amazing. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm. 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity. And an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is a source to trust. I have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code VANISHED for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code VANISHED. cbdistillery.com. The person Kiana's family suspects killed her is incarcerated. But that hasn't led to finding Kiana's body or getting justice for her murder. And while Kiana's family hasn't been completely satisfied with the law enforcement investigation, Fiona does acknowledge that multiple agencies assisted in looking for Kiana from the very beginning, and that the police seemed to get off to a strong start.
The U.S. Marshals have been on my case since the very beginning. They actually are the ones that had all the things that they took out from the search, and then all the cell data all went through the U.S. Marshals office. She was missing for so long at that point that they needed to get more help than just the two detectives that work in a 30,000 people plus town. Yeah, we had Illinois State Police, the U.S. Marshals Office, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children were on the case. These agencies all came in right around the September timeframe. Everyone there was just like disgusted. Like we live here, we're from around here, and these police, 4 years in, they still haven't charged this person with all the probable cause and circumstantial evidence that is there is just batshit crazy to me. They had done searches along a stretch of road near us. I'm thinking because a ping on some cell tower near there on his phone is where they got the coordinates to do the searching. They've done a few searches. Say maybe 4 or 5 searches. They searched the river when this first had happened, a couple months in maybe, I think. A couple of, like, sewer drains. They're like the runoff that are filled with water some places, like drainage ditches type of thing. They searched a couple of those places, the park. There was a big search in 2017 or 2018 that had about 150-plus people, dogs, ATVs. Nothing came about, no clothing, no bones, no nothing. All they found was animal bones.
It's not hard to see why the police investigation seemingly stalled after the acquaintance went to prison. When we talked with Fiona, we asked her what she's been frustrated by over the last 4 years.
I mean, there's physical evidence 6 days later in the case. And then a month later, these people are remodeling their home. So it doesn't, you know, they've had plenty of time to cover up a crime scene. And then you don't get a search warrant for 6 months. And then you knew like 3 months later, that was my daughter's blood that was found 6 days after. It's like the math doesn't add up. And you police can't be that slow. I just know that the way that they handled this from the jump was just not at all what law enforcement should have ever done. My mom was the one calling morgues and hospitals looking for her grandchild, not the police. I mean, everything up till even today is all the legwork that's been done has been through me. I'm giving it to you to get the charges you need and giving you all the leads that you need, and you're not getting the job done. I would have had this job done already if I wasn't sent on like, you know, corn maze, you know, of all these different scenarios that could happen. So it just kills me that it's not get your job done. That's all you need to do is one job and bring my baby home. That's it. I just had a candle vigil in front of the police station last Saturday. They didn't even come out. It's just disgusting. And it's like pulling teeth, like I said, from this, even for my private detective to get anything on the case. It's like, it's still an ongoing case. We can only give you so much. It's obnoxious.
Heidi has also observed some things that frustrated her about the police investigation. She told us about her frustrations.
They were barely present at the search. There was, I think, one detective, I want to say, there. They didn't take her seriously. I mean, yeah, they didn't take her seriously when she first reported her missing. I remember talking to Flanagan, I believe was his name, and I remember talking to him on the phone and just asking him, like, why can you look into her messages? Can you get deeper into her social media? Like, is there a way to look at, you know, old Snapchat messages? It's like, you know, stuff that you think police can do when you watch all this stuff on TV. And he was just so oblivious and not helpful. And he didn't even know what half the social media was. He didn't know how half of it worked. So he wasn't very helpful. I remember talking to him a few times. I can't even remember what it was we even talked about. Asking him about leads and if they'd found anything. And the U.S. Marshals actually came to my house out of nowhere, surrounded my house, and came inside and searched my entire house for her, thinking I was holding her or whatever they were thinking. I mean, I was happy they were even searching for her. You know what I mean? Like, so I couldn't even be mad about it because it's like, good, at least you're trying. I mean, you're not going to find her here, but at least you're trying. But I just feel like, why couldn't they have done that to their house? You know what I mean? Like, if that's the last person she talked to and you guys know that, why couldn't U.S. Marshals surround their house and search their house inside? I feel like they were so late with everything.
During our interview with South Elgin Police Department's Sergeant Martinez, we asked what the police have been doing in their investigation and how they have kept Kiana's mom informed. This is what he told us.
So I know she had a few concerns on some of the evidence, I guess you can say. So what I've been trying to do is backtrack and answer those questions. We are still looking at some of the evidence. We sent just recently a piece of evidence off to a nonprofit organization that does DNA collecting in Utah. So we are still trying to follow up with that. And it is it's when this case happened 4 years ago to now, there has been, like, you talk about technology and evidence collecting and so forth, where they are now looking at a piece of evidence that we have sent before to our lab and they couldn't really give, where potentially now this lab with the technology and the means that they extract DNA potentially could give us, this was Kiana's blood. Sergeant Polkinghorne / Deputy Chief Polkinghorne was keeping her up to date. If she had some information, she would provide it to him and he would follow up with it if she had something. And then when he got promoted, he was not going to be able to dedicate the time, because now being a deputy chief, we had a sit down with myself, Deputy Chief Pokinghorn, and Fiona, and an introduction, going over some of the stuff. And so I sat down with her. We sat down with her, and some of her concerns, or whatever her concerns were, her thoughts about the case, I took notes on that and have been trying to follow up with some of the stuff. Our department, and like I said, Deputy Chief Pokinghorn, Sergeant Pokinghorn at the time, we followed up on every lead, from doing a 300-person search of a wooded area with cadaver dogs to dive teams checking ponds, lakes. We've done every lead that's come up, we have followed up with. Even out of the state, you know, if we get a lead that, and I believe there has been a few leads that have come from out of state, again, obviously we are following up on those leads, or we have followed up on those leads. There's been a lot of work put into this.
Sergeant Martinez maintains that the police continue to work on Kiana's case and shared with us how the public can help.
We are still taking in any leads. And I know it goes to your next question, but again, out in the public, if anybody has any information to contact the South Elgin Police Department, we are continuing to take everything in and follow up everything that we can get, any information that is provided to us. So with all your viewers that are listening and downloads, if anybody has anything, any type of information to share on this case, to go is to contact the South Elgin Police Department. I am the detective that is handling Sergeant Martinez. Leave me a voicemail, send me an email. amartinez@southelgin.com. Again, and I think one of the other questions was, could they remain anonymous? Absolutely. If there's something that they have, we want everything. We will follow up on everything on that. So that's the one thing I would like for all your listeners and everybody that downloads this. People talk. People say things. And it's amazing that you're going to know somebody. Somebody's going to know something. And again, please put this out there, as little or as trivially as you think it might be, still provide the information. Let us follow up and determine if it was something that is nothing, or if it could be the one piece that we are looking for. Call the South Elgin Police Department. I will give you my direct line, my desk line. They can leave me a message with that information. The desk line is 224-629-5332. My email, they can email it to me. It is amartinez@southelgin.com. With the information. If they feel uncomfortable leaving a voicemail, if they feel uncomfortable leaving an email, they can write a letter and mail it to me.
So what happened to Kiana Galvin when she said she was going to walk to the park on May 6th, 2016? They later found messages between Kiana and the acquaintance in her neighborhood, and the two had been chatting about her coming over. In the days after Kiana disappeared, her blood was found on a trash can nearby. We also learned that the people who lived in the home that Kiana was last seen entering remodeled their basement shortly after Kiana disappeared. We know this acquaintance has a violent history, and that he slashed his girlfriend's throat, who was also one of Kiana's friends. Why did this person try to bribe Kiana's mother into paying his bail in exchange for information leading to Kiana's location, but then went silent? Did he intend to harm Kiana that day, or did some kind of accident occur? Time is closing in on 5 years since Kiana disappeared, with no more progress or answers to what happened to her that day. Kiana had her entire life ahead of her, and her family wants to be able to bring her home, so they can focus on justice for Kiana while they grieve her loss. At the time of Kiana's disappearance, she was 17 years old. Kiana is approximately 5'5" tall and weighs between 130 and 140 pounds. She had brown, curly hair and hazel eyes. Kiana also had several tattoos and piercings. If you have any information about Kiana Galvin's disappearance, you're urged to call the South Elgin Police Department at 630-232-8400. You can follow Kiana's story on social media at Justice for Kiana.
It's just so weird, because at first, when it's first happening, you know there's gonna be some. You know what I mean? Like, you just know inside, like, this can't be it. Like, you're gonna find them. They're gonna come back. Everything is gonna be okay. And then just knowing after all these years, just knowing what we know about her last encounter with the last person she was seen with, it's like the least you could do is just stay where you are. I don't get it. And I mean, they're young. Like, I don't get how you could just go about your everyday, like, everything's fine. I mean, Kiana has, like, all over her Instagram and stuff how this girl is her best friend and happy birthday, and she's known her since she's little. And it's just like, why can't you say anything? Like, what is wrong with you? It's like you can't ever give up hope on that, of the not knowing. So I hope they find her, at least something that's of her, just so there's some type of closure. I just hope and pray that the truth comes out, and that everything can just be out in the open, and Fiona can have peace. I mean, her daughter she raised. I mean, I can't. If I feel this terrible, and I was just her stepmother that only knew her for a handful of years, like, you can't even imagine what she's going through and how she feels. And I just want this whole thing to be over. You never know the worst feeling until you feel the feeling of not knowing, not being able to do anything, not knowing how to find someone, how to get a hold of someone, how, where they're at. Like, you're suffocating constantly.
That brings us to the end of episode 258. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by contributing on Patreon, where you can get early and ad-free episodes. Join me next week. I'll be covering a case from Nevada. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.